Let's return to the yesteryear.
Let's return to the
yesteryear.
Tuesday night.
Let's return to our bomb.
Tuesday night, my last words, I'm pissed. Take it, big guy.
Cut.
Question is, why was I pissed?
Because you weren't able to communicate what you wanted to communicate.
True.
Because we're not appearing.
No, I don't know about that, but whatever the point is that there is nothing about Christianity that can be understood or seen unless you're coming from a position where you recognize that his redemption is total. And you have to be redeemed from something. And what are you redeemed from? You're redeemed from hell. You're redeemed from the slavery. You're redeemed from the whole system of the world. The whole process, the whole... But you can't know you're redeemed, and redemption will have no value to you unless you know you're in hell.
Currently.
He's delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, and he's translated us, is the word, translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, translation, by definition, is something that can't be seen with the senses. You will always, sensory, there will be no thing on, I mean, go 1 Peter. Colossians.
Not Peter at all.
Well, we'll go back to Peter. It's a better...
You can never find Colossians. Where is it?
General Electric Power Company.
Courtesy Jack and Shane.
Looks like it's something rude.
No, let's not do that.
Colossians what?
One.
Yeah, extra...
I don't even feel like doing that.
Not even in Colossians. I don't feel like it either.
No, I don't feel like it. It's like... No, it just seems weird without...
Well, damn.
It's like halfway.
Two fold-ups in a row.
We could do a hot seat on Daryl.
Yeah.
Daryl doesn't
need
one.
That's
a good idea.
Oh, Daryl doesn't need one.
Looks like he's feeling kind of happy. Let's screw with him.
Things are going too good for Daryl.
That's what the boys had. Nobody had any opportunity to be happy. Daryl, don't come in with a smile on your face.
What do you feel like doing?
What I feel like doing is addressing some, if it's going on with anybody, some the basic kind of stuff or questions or issues.
Actually, we were kind of getting to one that I wanted to... I went out a couple days ago with an unnamed person for lunch. And I guess it's an... maybe it's unresolvable. I don't know how to frame the question, because once again, you may frame the question and demand a certain kind of answer. And I don't even want to do that. It seems as if sometimes we, in what we believe in, live in two worlds. And for me, I mean, knowing me, I mean, since there's like, seems to me to be such a little continuity in how I feel from one second to the next, or what I think about myself or the world or anything else. You know, I mean, from the place of judgment to the place of joy. And sometimes I think I'm in one when really I was in the other. And when, you know, sometimes I think I was in one when I was in the other. And, you know, and somebody can come along and say something to me, and I know what that also means. But, you know, and I never seem to settle down, or I never seem to have anything to hold on to say, uh, yes, I see the New Jerusalem, or no, I really am in hell right now, or any of those things.
The problem with that you're describing, I mean, just think of the problem that Paul had in describing the same sensation. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, but somehow I'm not crucified because I'm alive. I mean, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but yet not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. So it's a discrete, real problem to grasp. The idea that physically we could be one place and spiritually we are permanently residing in another. And the test of it is the alliances that are made after the flesh, the sensory alliances and the manipulations. And what we've talked about last night in stealth was that everything that molded your I, your ego, your you, was magic. And it was magic to avoid a sense of doom, a sense of impending doom, a sense of helplessness, and a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. And so if your magic has been successful, you can tolerate hell. You know, it's like, and you don't even know you're doing magic. But your magic is the imagery and the sorcery that your mind accomplishes. And the high place activity, its function is to make hell tolerable, to blind your mind. Satan is the god of this world. He is the Hades of this world. And the scary part of it is how easily and how unknowingly you use sorcery and magic and augury and all of those things in the name of thinking and in the name of being nice or thoughtful. Now, it's going to sound like I'm picking on somebody, but I'm not. I'm just using an example. That bear that you sent Tyra mm-hmm. with the poem, mm-hmm. that was pure sorcery. Every time you... No, I mean, I'm not...
Yeah.
Do you understand? I want you to see. There's the poem. It sounded real sweet and nice. You know, every time you needed a... When something goes wrong, here I am as a hug. It's the same sorcery that comes from the early childhood.
Yeah.
And I'm not jumping on you. I'm just wanting you to see it.
Yeah. Oh, obviously I didn't think of that.
No. I'm not saying, and I'm not complaining about it. I mean, but you know, when you see these things, then you can put them away. Yeah. Most of the sorcery takes the form of never living now, in this moment. But your whole identity, all of that's what's going to happen in stealth in this round of hot seats is the definition of the who is the I? What are the modifiers on the I am? What are the adjectives? What are the nouns that define the I? Well, every one of them, without exception, was formed in the fires of sorcery and witchcraft from God's standpoint. To avoid and to make acceptable the feeling of being in a state of desperate aloneness. Now, do you understand that?
Yeah, I understand. That's, for me, is the easy part to understand.
Okay.
Because of, you know, where I live most of the time.
Okay, excuse me.
God stepped into time and space. He made himself subject to time and space, put himself inside flesh, woke up as a baby, and went through the same thing, the polarity of the sense of well-being and the sense of impending doom.
Exactly.
And how did he overcome?
Well, he, from the standpoint of the, what we think of as overcoming, he never did. He didn't until he became a child of the law. He didn't really, it wasn't totally overcome until his baptism.
So he, as 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old child,
had the same sense of terror.
He never let go of him and all that kind of stuff. And then slowly, then he had brothers came along. So he went through the same sibling rivalry and bullshit and probably wanted to kill him. And slowly but surely, until he came up to the age of 30. Child of the law, he began to see.
At starting as the moment, really, in terms of the word, what they call bar mitzvah now, but it's, that wasn't ever a case. It was it's when it, to be a child of the law means to be a point, to be in a point in which you can begin to see. You open your eyes, and so he began the process when he became a child of the law, of seeing, slowly but surely, moment by moment, year by year, who he was. And he saw it primarily through the scriptures.
So he saw himself as sinful?
No, he saw himself as a son of God.
Oh.
He had no self-consciousness, but he had to go through.
But he did, all through his 33 years, he did see himself as totally alone, totally separate in this world from flesh. The only thing that kept him from being alone was the fact that the Father was in him?
No. You got to hear this once and for all time. I don't know at which point each of you are there, but all of you are at some point now, probably all somewhere between birth and the child of the law. So, I mean, you're not children of the law yet. It's like you're still in this position of, well, you, it's not that definable. I mean, you have moments where you see, and so, and then you revert back to the ways of the world. You have moments where there's clarity, and then a few minutes later there's confusion. You have moments when you're sure that you could call down thunder and lightning, and then the next minute you'll feel like you're going to commit suicide. Well, believe it or not, that path, there's nothing that has overtaken you that he hasn't gone through. Nothing. And so that process, that's the hope, that's the certainty that we have in the way. But the test of the way, it's like your spaceship analogy this morning. You can't bring anything with you into the spaceship. You can't bring any of the value systems that have defined you into the spaceship. Because you do it, and you know, and then it's all wobbly and has to fall down again, and then spaceship isn't a good analogy, but that's what Isaiah 5 is about. You sin, as it were, with a cart rope. You're dragging with you the identity, the value systems, the mechanisms of survival from Egypt. And you're trying to bring them into the promise. That's the reason the wilderness is so awesome. So that nothing of that value, nothing of that ego will enter the promise. But the question in this state here, you know, well, am I sitting on the, am I in hell or am I, as long as you think you're, as long as you can go for any length of time and think of the possibility you're in either one of them, then by definition you're still in the wilderness. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change that you're on the inexorable trek to the New Jerusalem. It doesn't change that you're already there in the seated, you're seated already with him in the heavenlies, on the mercy seat. But your mind doesn't know it yet. And so it's a battlefield of all of the value systems versus faith. But no value system that can, no value system, matter, no matter how important you think it is, can be tolerated. That's my job. No, well, it's not just mine. I mean, it's my job to challenge it. But think how many of the value systems, Jesus said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. That's pretty straightforward. So whatever it is that's still driving you, and you can look around and you see that's highly esteemed among men, you know that can't be a part of you. That's a part of the chaff that's being blown away. But again, you'll go through this point. It's like, it's like a cork on the ocean. You know, and I went through the same thing. I don't think I've been there lately. I can't remember the last time I haven't known. But, I mean, I went through that whole thing. But for most of the time I did it, it was alone. And I didn't know what the fuck I was going. I didn't know who I was. I would sometimes think, my God, am I totally crazy? I think these things, but I'm afraid to say them. And then slowly but surely, I started just saying. And pretty soon, the more I said. I mean, it was like, but this isn't mysterious. It's simple. Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. But again, it's still back to the basic premise. What we studied Tuesday night, and the reason I got so mad about the Greek concept of Sheol or Hades, and about the three states of being in Hades, and the Hebrew concept of Sheol or hell are both the same. And Hades is a type of the Antichrist, of the God of this world. There's the three states of being here. Some sometimes you know you're in the deepest pit. Sometimes you think you're in the Elysian field, and everything's kind of airy and nice. And sometimes you think you're truly in the Isle of the Blessed. But the real answer from Christ's standpoint is all of that was Hades. And Christ came to set the prisoner free, to redeem them that were in the pit. It's not that you're going to the pit someday. It's not that Christ is going to come down and make your life nice to save you from hell. You're already in hell. That's what you don't know. That's why redemption is a meaningless concept. Because your magic has caused you to tolerate hell.
Yeah. Years, and that's a wild.
What's the first time Gary saw it last night? Gary went crazy.
We are.
And he has redeemed us. And when we see that, otherwise, we're going to try to make hell nice. We're going to try to redecorate it in Jesus' name.
All hell is, is self-seeking with a condemning heart. You know something about that.
Okay, so you don't when that I'm not any fucking better than I was, probably worse. There's no evidence of God in me. Why? Well, the only evidence, Paul confronted us all the time. Since you seek an evidence of Christ speaking in me, and then he wasted them. It's the word, the sword of your mouth, that's the only evidence. The idea of this crazy religious teaching that lip and life should be this. You can't sanctify flesh. Flesh is irredeemable. But the fact is, until you know with a certainty that you are in an unacceptable place, you know that your magic has failed, you know that your sorcery has failed, you know that all of your idolatry is marred, you know that there is no hope, that's the point in which you can understand the redemption. Otherwise, and for some, that's instant. That's the grace of Isaac. It's pachew. For some, it's a struggle and a fight. My God, oh my poor. That's the grace of Jacob. For some, it's just a long, slow, seemingly boring process. That's the grace of Abraham. It's just the grace that says, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. Well, once you say, I don't want to do this anymore, or I don't want to believe that anymore, or I don't want to be a part of that anymore, all you've said spiritually is, I now see that all of that stuff that I thought I used to want to do, that I don't want to do anymore, all the ways I thought that I don't want to think anymore, all that is hell. It's in the waste. It's in the dump in your mind. Well, God just wants you to have the whole fucking thing in the dump. And there's three ways you have to get there: the grace of Abraham, of Isaac, or Jacob. Instantaneous revelation, which costs you everything instantly. Struggle, the grace of Jacob, which you hate. Because, man, it's so terrible. It just gets awesome. All this fighting and trying again. But and the other one is boredom is what would kill me. I couldn't stand the grace of Abraham. I wouldn't have made it. But slowly but surely, it's the slow recognition. Oh, my God, that's hell. Oh, my God, that's hell, too. Oh, my God, this thing I used to think was really neat. I used to really believe it. Now it's hell. It's all around me is hell. I mean, and so you don't... Am I communicating?
Yep.
You know, your sorcery, you have more magic than most. Because your whole life is based on magic. Your whole identity is. I mean, even in your way of speaking, it's magic. It's a way in which you can tolerate this desperateness that's the real you. Well, so it's easy to condemn you because your magic is so obvious. Well, I know you don't, but I mean, for others do. Others see it.
Yeah.
But they can't condemn you because their magic is just as bad. It's just not as obvious. Their sorcery is more subtle. Yours is more. You know, once you see it, then you see it clearer. You see that's all. But that's why I didn't want to, I understand the thought of the bear and the card, but I just want you to see that that's...
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, the reason I get so mad is because I'm not able to communicate what I know. And so I see... It seems to me, in one sense, that it's my fault that you just, it's like you're spinning your wheels and you go through and you learn the lesson, same, you go through the same thing 500 times and you see it destroyed and then you go and try to build it up again. Then you go and you see it destroyed and then you go try to build it again. It's like it's God that's destroying it and you're trying to build it up again. And it's in all kinds of areas and arenas. I mean, that's what frustrates me, is because that means to me that I haven't communicated. That's why I get mad periodically. But I'm not... You know, I mean, the real truth of the matter is I'm filled with hope for us. I'm thrilled with the people in terms of where they are and what's being seen. I still consider us the most fortunate of all people on the face of the earth. I'm thrilled when I see Daryl have an opportunity for an expression or the John's music or...
I guess that's something else I want to bring up. It's like... images... and the prohibition against images being held before God. Okay, that's...
Thou shalt have before me, and thou shalt make out of your grove graven images, yeah.
You know, the last two or three months, that's something I thought about a lot, you know, and
always trying to I'm trying to say something even more than that. Some days I'm really afraid that I'll wake up and I'll have found out that I was so utterly deluded about who I was and what I was doing. And it'll just be the worst thing ever. I mean, I'll be found out and found to have been wrong and just discarded like that. You know, and that's...
But that's the truth.
It's already been found out.
No, but that's that... It's the writing on the wall of your temple. It's the writing of the hand of God. That's why the glory then is, you're never judged by that any longer. You're judged by Him, that Christ is my life. Then you can operate and live in thought, in word, and in deed, all is unto God, not worrying whether it's accepted or not accepted. Do you realize the majesty of being able to say, whatsoever I do in thought, and in word and in deed, I do as unto the Father? The freedom of that?
That's what I want to say. That's what I think a lot of the time. Then I'm trying to say, maybe I'm trying to say something, you know, it's like, I was thinking that and saying that, you know, whatsoever in thought, word, and deed, but actually I wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
And then I really will be.
Then you really be in deep shit.
Stop.
Okay, but still stop. That too, that test has been finished. I mean,
you always end up, I suppose, an infinite regression of tests to the point where you have to say...
What are you studying?
If I perish, I perish.
Again, the final test that will be the anchor of your being is that even if I am totally wrong, then curse me for your sake.
Yeah.
Then there's no power on heaven and earth that can touch you. You understand? That's then what it means to lay down your life for the brethren. It's not just this physical life and putting up with shit, it's laying down the very hope of any possibility of salvation. Then once that has taken place, that's exactly the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is the inexorable process, and you'll be faced with it. My God, when you see through that, there is no thing on the face of the universe that can come against you. There's no little subtlety that can hit you. There's no little sneaky little, you know, I don't have to tell you how your minds work. You know, whap! You get that one in, and another one comes, whap! And from a totally different direction. Well, once you've seen that one, and you will, I promise you, then nothing, not height, nor depth, not power, not high place, not low place, not angels or devils, nothing then can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, which is in you. But no thing can be brought into it. No old ways, no old value systems, no old opinions, no judgments after the flesh can be brought into this mystery. But the more you see you're in hell, the more you will see the redemption. The more your magic has caused you to tolerate hell, the less Christ means to you. Now you got one of those looks on your face again.
Well, I thought that you
came into my head is there's a continual, test, which is, oh shit, that just disappeared. Oh.
That was one of the tests.
I just lost.
Has to do with
what did you just say?
It was
you had a weird look on your face.
What sparked it to him was when he said, the more you tolerate hell, the less you will see Christ.
Yeah, it's like when you go, this is a pen, this isn't a pen.
Oh, I can't.
It's a little seed. That's the first sign of age, Harry.
Another brain seizure.
No, it had something to do with.
It was probably really revelatory, too.
Pistons froze up. And then noodle.
Something you can lay them.
What's going on with you?
Oh, I just feel sad. I guess it's that. It's like I feel sad to have been made this way. And I feel sad about that. You know, I have such a sneaky way of rejecting Christ. You know what I mean? It's so.
It's not very sneaky. It's so obvious.
It's not obvious to me.
Well, I know. That's why we need each other. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks always unto the Father which hath made us worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now, when this whaps you, when you really get a hold of it, you end up with a certainty that just blows you away. And that is that your flesh, including your thoughts, everything, is never again to be tested. It failed. It failed the test. It can't meet the standards. And his own right arm has gotten him the victory in you. In whom we have redemption. Now we can begin to understand what redemption is. It's being redeemed from the slave pit. Through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, and that's constant. If the Lord should mark iniquity, who could stand? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and exist for him. Even this shit. And he is before all things. You understand? That means there's no such thing as a second cause. He's the first cause of all things. First only cause of all things. But all things are beautiful in their time. All things are functioning, purposed in their time. And for us, unto whom much is given, there's a whole lot of stuff that we don't have time for anymore. They're gone. By him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him alone should all fullness dwell. And again, that's why it's, unless it's Christ in you, it's nothing. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be the things in earth or the things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind, by the wicked works of righteous, trying to get it right, yet now hath he reconciled. Forgive me for talking like a fool. I can't remember the last time I tried to get it right. Anything.
I don't consciously try to get it right.
Well, you know, You just experienced, in a moment, you experienced what Daryl just expressed as his greatest fear. And you're going along, you know, whatever I think, say, or do, I'm doing it as it's unto the Lord. And the impulse is there, so you buy a teddy bear and you write a card and give it to Tucker. Right? It's like him drawing pictures and writing poems. And his fear is that he thinks he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, and he'll find out anyway. So you write this card and you give a teddy bear and this card to Tyra. And you come to Bible study, and then this guy goes, you know, that was pure sorcery.
But it was. It bothers me that it is.
Right, that's the point. Wait. First of all, that was...
He's giving you my sermon to him this
morning. That was a minute ago, or an hour ago. I don't know when you gave it to her, but it isn't now.
Yeah.
It's all things that you think, say, or do as if unto the Lord is this moment. And it's the reaction is like, oops.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like...
So what? It's like...
I'm not saying that, you know, I wish everything I did was perfect. It's not the action. It's that...
No, but the freedom...
It bothers me that I get so tricked out so easily.
But that is what you just said. It was.
You should be pure like me, and then you
sound like somebody I heard talking this morning.
That's the reason I sat next to you tonight. I rub off.
You thought you needed a hit? Is that what it was?
He's doing his eye exercises
again. That thing is attacking all my muscles.
I want you to consider the possibility that it's impossible for you to do anything against the truth.
Yeah. I believe it's indestructible. I just don't believe I always see it. In fact, I know I don't always see it.
That means, better yet, it means that it's impossible for you to make a mistake.
That's hard to believe.
It's like, I'm going to walk over there under Niagara Falls and stop it.
Yeah, because, but, if you, and again, it's going to sound like I'm picking on you again, but the reason, and it's in all of us, the reason is that you believe you're stronger than God.
Well, I don't. It's just that's what shows up all the time.
No, hear me. If you think you can do something against the truth, you are saying to God that you believe you are stronger than him.
Well, that just makes me feel more guilty.
Well, we'll continue on down that path then.
Finally,
which is stupid.
Guilt makes you feel guilty.
Oh yeah, get righteous on me there.
Yeah, don't throw your snotty old
ass on me. Don't be smart right
now. I'm an Arthur.
Get out of
what?
There. What? GEPC actually.
I'm King Arthur.
Well.
Get extra high.
I don't feel like talking anymore. Take it, big guy.